This is Robert Stark. I'm joined here with Andy Fox. He's an Italo disco musician. Andy, it's great talking to you.
Hello. I'm glad to be interviewed by Robert because he contacted me. So, well, we can speak about Italo disco and synthwave.
Yes.
So I'm very glad to be here.
And Pilliter, great having you on too.
Yes, I'm actually a huge fan of Italo disco. We actually had on Brat Sinclair a few shows ago. He's a Eurobeat producer, which he comes from that scene of Italo disco.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. I've read about it, and I think that he's a great artist. So very glad to be here in the show. Along with other big names.
Yeah, we recently had Robert Parker on. He does a new retro wave, which is a genre of new music based on the 80s sound. You're making new music inspired by Italo disco. Are you the main artist doing that, or are there other artists creating a new Italo disco music?
No, I think I'm not the only one, because there are many other artists making great Italo disco all around the world, I think. In particular, we have a new Italo disco movement growing here in Italy. And we have some great artists here around. We have artists from Sunlover Records. They are very Italo disco oriented. Okay, also synthwave music is on the label. So, but I think in Europe there is a bigger movement compared to the for example the United States movement. But I think it's only a matter of time, because in the 80s, Italo disco was very big and very well known. So the new Italo movement is going to be, to me, very, very big as well.
How long have you been producing music for? And have you always been producing Italo disco, or did you have another genre of music before that you were into?
No, well, I've been making music since I was a child, playing with toy keyboards and the Von Tempi System 5. It was very famous at the time, and then I took some piano lessons for some time when I was a kid, and I also played drums during my teenage era in a small group. So my first official record was in 2007. Then I did some other songs, some other remixes here and there.
Was that first record in 2007, Italo disco?
No, not actually. It was another kind of music. I don't know what kind of music, because what I did was only to send the piece of music I did to the label, and the label say yes. The label was not asking me to do any particular genre, so it's not a proper Italo disco, but I'm using there 10 years ago the same instruments I'm using nowadays. So it's a matter of how you play the music, and or instead of you are using for the music for me. So it's not Italo disco, but the sounds are 80s related in some ways, so, because the instruments were the same.
Who are your main influences, and do you have a favorite Italo disco artist?
Yes, I have some Italo disco artists I like very much, like the Italian ones from the era. So the Via Verdi, Scotch, Martinelli, I like him very much, and He was one of the biggest for me. And then I have some other artists I know personally because they are now in their 60s or 50s, you know, and still playing here and there. But they are not playing in the at live sets or so. And I like Scotch very much, for example. Giorgio Moroder was one of the main artists I was used to listen at the time. Many names, I don't remember them all now, but there are many names I like when I hear the radio, for example, 80s related radio songs. I don't remember the name because Italo Disco was music to be released, and there are very, very small artists, but not so famous, but they did the great songs at the time.
It's funny. I really like the your SoundCloud and some of the art for the Tempest Fugit album with the whole sand clock in the sand. It's very reminiscent to some kind of, I guess the today millennials love to talk about aesthetics-wise, where it's giving you kind of the weird imagination of that sort of the whole sand clock. Kind of reminds me of these old things I saw in my childhood, too, and then it's revised, you know? Kind of like with whole the Italia yeah. disco sound is kind of... who was the art behind that? Did you have any direction between art direction and your sound in particular?
No, I didn't. I don't have because... I just make the music and some small illustrations for my, for example, singles. I don't design them all. The cover of the cover of the my record was made by Alessandro. Alessandro is another artist from Italy, and he's the one of the owner with Vincenzo Salvia of Sound Lover Records. And he's also a great designer, and he's also making music as a space love adventure. I'm not a graphic designer; I can do only very basic stuff. So, when I, for example, for my record, I relied on Alessandro. He did a great work.
It's interesting if you look at the designs for Italo Disco. There's a very kind of, there's like the new retro wave style, and then there's like vaporwave, cyberpunk, and they all kind of go together, but I do think the Italo Disco album covers, the illustrations have a very unique, distinct aesthetic.
I was about to say, yeah. Whatchamacallit, on your SoundCloud, there's one by, I think it's Demolcle Stargazer, and it's the Andy Fox Italio mix. And on the front cover is a guy with a guitar, and it looks like it's old, but it's actually from 2016. It's very reminiscent to something I remembered by Michael Fortunati, Give Me Up. And on his song, Give Me Up, he had a guitar, and he had that song, Give Me Up. And I'm just, it gives me those weird, you know, vibes to that.
Yes, it depends. It depends on the music, you know, because kind of, I have many people writing me, for example, they listen to one piece of music and they tell me, oh, I like this kind of music because it reminds me of another, it reminds me of, everyone is saying a different, as something different. The music is very strange if you want. One particular sound may remind you of another particular situation or another record, but to me, I didn't want to emulate something because I am honest. I don't even know who you're talking about because I know the name, but sometimes I didn't listen to the music, so it's very strange because I like this fact that the music reminds us of something totally different. From one person to another, you know.
Pilliter, you were saying that one of his songs reminded you of that song from 86, I Can't Wait by
the
New Shoots.
It was,
New Shoots, yes, yeah. because I took the sample. Okay, I put the some vo I put some vocals in the sample. So I used the sampler, the Akai, to play the vocals. So yes, it may remind you of the chopped vocals, because it was a very common used, let's say, effect. But it's not an effect, to be honest. It's playing the voice, the of pieces of voice. Is very common today as well. Everyone is doing that. But in the 80s, some Italo records featured that kind of sound. So I like to use my old sampler to do something strange. You know, I like the chopped voices. It's important that the voices are going to give you the rhythm, and if every sound which is going to be to make you move, it's good. Voices, you know, drums, synths, it's the groove that matters to me.
There's a genre called a new disco that a lot of your songs in your SoundCloud are under. Can you explain what the new disco genre is?
New disco, it's something new but with old sounds, new techniques used with the old sounds, old instruments. It's not Italo disco, because Italo disco is to me there as a musical style. And everything was is there. If you want to hear Italo disco, you can grab an old record and listen. You know, it's not totally it's totally different from new disco, or it's different because I don't want to be like 30 years ago and emulate or copy everything from 30 years ago. You have somehow to mix actual sounds with old sounds, actual techniques in between now and the past, and from the mix comes another musical style. So to me, Italo disco is a very, let's say, 80%, but the other 20% is giving the song or the music a totally new sound. And that's what I want to achieve, you know.
Do you often listen to Italo disco records for influence, or is it just something you've been so familiar with it becomes something natural? Like, for Italo disco records, I'm thinking about was everything on Memory Records, when you had Brian Ice and Baby's Gang and some of the other names, or Ken Laszlo, some of those names, they had some songs and they're very kitschy electronic like. And at the
yes, I often listen to Italo disco because there are many radio stations, many, not so much, not so many, but some radio stations in Italy that are going to are every day are transmitting them 80s music in FM, not only in the internet, you know. So you can go in the car and you can drive and listen to Italo disco music. Still nowadays, there are also some clubs and nights from some organizations which are featuring Italo disco artists. So yes, I listen to Ken Laszlo and other artists, but they are so many. I don't even know the names sometimes, because Italo disco born where there was the overproduction of music was starting. Many records in the 80s, many producers started to do music, and Italo disco was on the wave. So you have many records of Italo disco. Mm-hmm. And sometime I don't remember the name of the artist I listen to.
It seems for American audience, the only Italo disco song that's well known is Tarzan Boy by Baltimora.
Yes, but I know. I've been 8 times to the United States, for example, to the Winter Music Conference, and I've never heard anyone talking about Italo disco or synthwave, for example, in the past 10 years. But the genre is alive, has been always alive in the past years. Now I think that with EDM growing in the United States and a more electronic sound also growing in the United States on a very big market, also other small music styles are being discovered, you know. So I'm quite sure that many people is going to be more interested in the future in Italo disco and for example, well, synthwave mm-hmm. and other small musical styles along with the big ones.
That's interesting because today, you know, in America, we have kind of the vaporwave scene, which is pretty much just a fascination with nostalgia of the 80s and things that are Japanese. It's interesting, though, I think Italo disco is definitely coming along, too, because I found about Italo disco through the record shop where they would be selling dollar pulp kind of Italo disco records. I mean, you can't even, like you just said, there's so many of these names, they're just one-shots, right? You can't even remember them, they're just producers. That's from, like, looking at my Swan, Shining Star, Antonella, Supersonic Level, Radiorama, ABCD, Eddie Huntington, you know, these cheesy records that were just kind of, like, they look so commercial, but when you play them, they sound so funky and different and synthesizer-like. And so what's happening is those music is being kind of incorporating, or people are feeling a certain nostalgia for that. Especially, too, some producers who made Eurobeat, which was pretty much Italo disco, but kind of for the Japanese audience, it kind of got more sped up and faster. There's also an interest, you know, I'm thinking of FCF or Amuro Afrina. I think the song is Bad Desire or anything by FCF, but there's that kind of...
Yes.
Between the Japanese and the Italian, I think, is a very interesting synergy, too.
Yes, I can assure you that there are many Japanese here in Italy because they come here for the fashion, to buy Italian stuff, they like to be an Italian with the things we have in Italy. We are famous in the world for 2 or 3 things, you know, and Japanese are coming here every year in big numbers, but they also like the music, and there is a special connection between Italy and Japan. I've sent personally 2 records maybe of Tempus Fugit in Japan, so you know, someone and something is moving in Japan with an Italo disco imprinting, you know. So, yes, there is a connection to me. I like the Japanese stuff as well because, you know, manga styles and the cartoons, they were also in the 80s constructing big synthesizers, so the Yamaha and almost everything I'm using today was born in the 80s in Japan, so they are geniuses in doing building strong music components and composers. Maybe there is a connection.
We were talking about aesthetics and design, and I know it's interesting how each nation and culture had kind of their own unique aesthetic in a different era. There's the kind of Japanese 80s aesthetic. I mean, that, I guess You can kind of see it in like films like Akira and anime, but you see Japanese imagery in a lot of those 80s retrowave videos. But there's also a very distinct Italian 80s design. Andy, I think I sent you a picture of that interior design imagery from Italy. I forget the name of that designer.
I don't remember as well. Do you mean an Italian designer?
I forget his name, but there is a very kind of distinct Italian design aesthetic from that era.
I really don't know now what you're referring, because we had in the past Italian designers on the car market, very famous and quite some names. The aesthetics for the Italian market, maybe referring to the cars and vehicle market, I can tell you that the designers who made, for example, old Italian cars, very sport Italian cars, were I don't remember the name now. It's a very famous, you know, but now and
I'm
right here,
Ferrari,
I don't remember.
Cars or something. Ferrari or
yes, Ferrari was yes, but there is an Italian designer who has been making cars, car style car, and designed the cars for many brands. So, but I don't remember now. Maybe Pininfarina or something like that. I don't. He's still active nowadays, I think. Giugiaro, I remember. It's an Italian car designer, and we use, for example, Vincenzo. He's a crazy guy from the Sun Lover Records label, and he's very much using these kinds of aesthetics and pictures of Italian car designer Giugiaro. Yes, I think the main aesthetic design is from the 80s and era is from the sport cars to me in Italy.
And also definitely fashion as well.
Yes, fashion as well. From the 80s era, we have many. We have the grow. We have the how can I say the fashion start to grow very much in the 80s with the supermodels, and in Italy we have now Gucci and D&G, Dolce Gabbana, and designers who grew up in the 80s. And we also like to represent Italy with that kind of style.
Oh, I think the designer I was thinking of, his name is Ugo La Pietra.
Ah, okay. Yes, it could be. It could be, yes. Him is a very... He's very famous now. I remember the name, Ugo La Pietra. Yes, it's a very yes. It's an architect, to be honest. It's not very yes. It's an architect. He's not designing products, but very very famous.
I just think it really captures the music.
Let me see. It's a pink picture of a hotel looking thing with a TV and a chair. And I could see why the color purple, again, I've said this before, and especially the cover on Andy Fox's album with the hourglass, it seems that purple has this very of a hypnotic color, if you were to say art aesthetic wise, and it definitely I don't know, maybe a future where the 80s never grew out, and we're in the year 2050, and it's still the 80s. Maybe I can describe
that. Well, these aren't the retro.
Well, the picture,
these originals.
Yes, the picture seems The picture is very like what's on the picture? I'm seeing there's maybe a Commodore 64 and an old chair. I have that chair still in my somewhere here around the kitchen. Is it's very futuristic, but with the neon. Yes, I can feel the picture you sent me. It's an old picture, but it's a retro futuristic picture, and it's related to a future that maybe never happened.
Yes, I think aesthetics definitely has something to do with feeling and of music.
I noticed for your Madonna remix, Three Love Spent, I noticed you went with a kind of a Art Deco Great Gatsby aesthetic. I like that one too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I did a remix for the Remixers United, Madonna Remixers United, who asked me. I have another remix of Madonna who did very well. It's Rain, who gave me a lot of listens on SoundCloud. Basically, I've been discovered by that remix. So then I've always been in contact with the Madonna Remixers United staff, and they also asked me to do other music and other remixes for the Madonna project, and I'm quite happy with the results. I like Madonna's voice. She's very powerful, and I'm a big fan of her. So I am always happy to remix when someone sent me an a cappella to play with.
You've also done music based on a new artist like Rihanna and Ariana Grande. Can you talk about that?
Yes, those remixes are just not very. They are just how can I say bootlegs? No, not bootleg, but okay, they are remixes. But they do. I do them just to play them sometime at my gigs when I play out at parties or in small venues. For example, to test the floor, to test the dance floor, to test how they are accepted by the people. Sometimes I feel bored, so I just do remixes with the more actual artists, so that someone can approach the sound when they hear. The voice of a well-known artist, they can approach the sound and hear the music under the voice, and you know, everything is important to let the people know your music. And to make the people interested in your sound, which is not a common sound. It's not EDM sound. It's not commercial sound. It's something more directed to a smaller group of people and a smaller group of listeners. So it's important to do something also more appealing for the crowds.
Your song Fly Away features the vocalist Laura. Can you talk more about the vocals in your music?
Laura is a girl who is living here in Verona, near where I live, and what can I say? It's the song born casually because she gave me the vocals. I always work with the vocal part with no music at all. I don't even listen to the original one if I can, because I don't want to be influenced from the original. So I can do a totally new piece of music when I have the only vocals track. So I had the vocals, I did the music, and that's all. I didn't do anything particular. I liked what I did. So when I like what I do, the day after or one month after I did the song, for example, and I still like what I did, I keep the track, and okay, I release the track, and that's all.
I'm always curious, especially when people make music, how do you go about making music, and what exact synthesizers and or drum machines do you use, or is it everything is digital?
No, I do music on mainly hardware synthesizers. I have some Roland stuff, I have some Korg stuff. I use a couple, but just a couple of external processor of the sound. I like to make music, you know, touching the keyboards, and I don't like to make music on the computer, because I've been studying piano for some years, so I am more trained on touching the music and touching the keys. I don't like to work on only on the computer, on the screen with the mouse and the key and the keyboard, because I don't feel like I'm playing. I need to touch the buttons, and I like the hardware sound. So it's just a matter of taste. You can do what you want, both on hardware and on the software side. It's important to what you are playing and what keys you are pressing, the right time you are pressing. It's not a matter of what you are using. It's not the tool, you know. It's how you use it. So, I compose mainly on the hardware keyboard. So the sound you are hearing is... it's true, you know.
We are at the end of the show. Andy, is there anything you'd like to add about your future or upcoming projects?
Well, in the future, I don't know when I will be doing another EP. I hope soon, because I'm collecting the songs. I don't have a specific time to release music, because I don't like to be on pressing to release music. That's maybe why I'm because I like to make music when I feel to make music, and when I have some pieces together, then I can group them and release an album, for example. So in the future, I hope in fall, winter, to release another EP. Who knows? And that's it. Thank you to everyone who is listening to my music, old fans, new fans, everyone, every single supporter from all over the world who is buying my record. I'm very happy, and I would like to thank you, everyone.
Awesome.
Andy Fox, thank you so much for being on. We're both big fans.
Awesome.
Thank you to you too, and I hope to hear the interview. My English not so good, so let's do what you can to. I hope that the people who is going to understand the interview, because my Italian accent is very strong. I don't speak English every day, so I hope to to be understood from everyone. And thank you so much.
And also, thanks, Pilliter.
Nice talking to you.